This morning, we're going to talk a little bit about some services and some, I'll give you some heads up with the spring storm season here now. The folks at the American Red Cross are very concerned about our livelihoods, and they want to make sure that we are safe and prepared before so many of these storms start to roll through the region here this spring season. Emily Holly is with us here this morning. She's on the phone with us. She's with the American Red Cross here in the Midwest, and we want to talk a little bit about our Midwest weather. Emily, thank you for the time today. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. With the Red Cross, I'm sure everything you do involves preparation. So when it comes to storm season, it's a lot about us being prepared, right?
Absolutely. Yes, it is. The Midwest is famous for our weather, and the severity of that weather and how quickly situations can change. And so preparedness is key.
Yeah, so we spend a lot of time here on the radio talking about the severe weather situations. When we start to see some of those things welling up, watches are important, warnings are critical, and we like to make sure that folks know what to do and where to be when different situations come up. So, when we have some, for example, thunderstorms and tornadic activity working around the area, there are a lot of common things that we look to, but are there things we can do ahead of time to make sure we're prepared?
So a couple of recommendations that we at the Red Cross always give is, make sure, especially during the time of year when weather can get dicey unexpectedly, we recommend always having at least two different ways to receive weather information. So because the power could go out and maybe you lose your internet connection, maybe you lose your TV, have a hand crank or battery powered radio. And then also we have a free emergency app that people can download onto their tablets or their mobile phones that can also give you those watches and warnings.
Yeah, we sometimes get so tied to those devices that we forget that, if the internet goes down, some of those devices don't work anymore. Electricity
right.
goes out, your television, and a lot of folks, they've cut the cord, so they're getting their TV through apps and things too. So in different services that are tied through the internet, when those things don't work, all of a sudden we kind of forget what we used to do.
Exactly. And so having, going back to the old days, as my daughter likes to say, having those things at the ready is wonderful. When you hear the weather in the morning and you think, there could be some severe storms later, it's a good time to start to make sure that you're ready to go, just in case. Have a flashlight handy. Have your hand crank or battery powered radio handy. I also like to recommend folks buy a brick that will, it allows you to plug in multiple USB cables, and it's a way to charge your cell phone in the event that your power goes out, so mm-hmm. that you can still use it to make phone calls or use the 5G network for your phone.
Sure. Sure, you bet. Well, a lot of us that have grown up and lived in the Midwest most all of our lives, we're very familiar with the tornado season, and we mm-hmm. kind of have a general idea of what we need to do and where we shouldn't go and what we should do. But again, all of that involves preparation. We should be sitting down talking with our families, especially if we have children in the household, about what to do when you don't have time to really think about it.
You're absolutely right. You want to talk to everybody in your household. And I would also reach out to friends, family, neighbors, people who live alone, people who might be living with a disability. Make sure that they are set just in case something happens. Do they know where to go? Do they have supplies on hand? And do they have a way to get in and out of their shelter spot? Whether it's the basement or the laundry room or their bathroom, do they have that? And so we often will talk about making sure to check in with your network, and that includes people both inside and outside your home. And when it comes to kids, not only do you want to talk to them about it, but get them involved in the preparation so that when that weather comes, because it will inevitably come, they're not scared. because that fear could be really paralyzing, especially for a young kid. And so get them involved in the preparations. Years ago, my daughter put, she's eight now, and she put up stickers all over our tornado shelter under the stairs in our basement. You know, just it helped her to feel like that would be a safe, cozy place for her to go.
You bet.
And that's important. And we also recommend that if you feel it's necessary to practice a couple times to make sure that everybody knows, okay, this is what I'm going to do. This is what I need to grab. So that everybody's on the same page and, you know, practice once or twice a year.
Well, I know there are several bullet points that you provided here through the Red Cross about preparation for spring storms. I just wanted to hit on a couple of them because there may be some things that we don't really think about much. Like, for example, when thunderstorms are in the area, just because we're indoors doesn't mean we're necessarily safe from lightning.
It's true. Yeah, that's not something that a lot of people realize. Lightning can still be dangerous indoors. You know, you want to be careful with items that are connected to electrical outlets. And also, don't run water. Lightning can travel through the plumbing, and it can happen very quickly, so it's not a good time to take a bath or a shower or even do the dishes. So, you know, just wait to do all of those things.
Yeah. Also, with regard to tornadoes, another point that maybe folks don't think about necessarily is that after you've had some sort of damage from a storm, perhaps a tornado-type damage, matches or lighters, things like that, can cause real problems.
Yes, because of gas, because of the gas leaks. So you want to steer clear of any of that until you've had professionals out there to evaluate that, yes, it, you know, you're there's no leak anywhere, and you're safe.
You bet. And flooding is another issue, too, that we've seen around our region quite a bit over the years, unfortunately. But that is a real, I mean, you know, flooding just always kind of drives me crazy because I feel for people who go through that simply because, to me, it's kind of the cruelest of the damage that can happen to you. You know, if a tornado wipes your house out, it's wiped out, it is what it is, you've got to rebuild. But, you know, flooding comes, if it gets into your home, it creates an awful mess. It's gone, and your house might look normal, but it's anything but after the fact.
Oh, flooding is such a mess. It is such a mess. And it can take a while to get back to where things were. So during the flooding up in northwest Iowa a couple years ago, a couple summers ago, I mean, we were working with folks for several weeks who were just cleaning out because it can take a while because there's a lot that you can't do until that water is out of there. And then what's left behind is gross. You know, so because that water can contain a number of unpleasant things, garbage, sewage, chemicals, objects, hazards, snakes,
sewage.
And you want to just, depending on where you are. Yeah. And you, you know, when you're dealing with that, you want to make sure that you're wearing protective clothing, long pants, boots, gloves, and, it's also a good idea to use an N95 respirator.
Yeah, and then we start talking about insurance issues as well, and it's particularly difficult sometimes with flooding for varying reasons. People never seem to have the right coverage for when stuff like that happens, and you know, you really need to look over all of those issues ahead of time, too.
Those are things that we recommend folks do on days when it's nice out, long before any weather ever hits. You know, look at how are your important documents stored in your home? Are they in a place that's fireproof, waterproof? What kind of insurance do you have? What items are on your insurance? You know, you might think that you have a fancy piece of equipment in your home and it's automatically on your insurance, but it's not. And so it's a good time to take a few minutes and make those calls just to make sure that if something were to happen, you're good, you're covered.
You bet. Emily, when we think of the Red Cross, we typically think of responding after disasters. In a perfect world, we're more prepared ahead of time so the response doesn't have to be as great, right?
That's true.
You do a lot in a lot of areas when it comes to responding, and a lot of times it is a lot of volunteers that help to respond.
And depending on the situation, we have volunteers that come locally. We have volunteers that have come in from all over the country, you know, just like with the Sioux City flooding, with the tornado that hit Greenfield a couple of summers ago. We had volunteers coming in from all over the country. And right now we have wildfires in western Nebraska that for right now, most of the volunteer support is local volunteers. But yes, our volunteers are amazing people who are ready at any time to put on the red vest and go help out.
You bet. And it might be just doing some of the grunt work that's necessary. It might be providing food, shelter, clothing, all kinds of assistance.
Yeah. So what we'll often do is we'll have volunteers who will depending on the size and type of the disaster, if we need to open a shelter, we will have volunteers who staff that shelter. We will be working with our partners who will help provide clothing if it's needed, food. We'll have volunteers who will often be serving meals or providing snacks and water for folks. We have volunteers who will drive around impacted neighborhoods delivering relief supplies, things like shovels, buckets, gloves, as well as snacks and water, making sure people take care of themselves. So we have folks who do a lot. We have volunteers who provide health services. We have licensed healthcare practitioners, mental health practitioners, spiritual care practitioners who make sure that people are getting the support that they need, because disaster recovery is a long process and it can be a difficult process. And so we want to make sure that people know that they're not alone.
Right. And if you ever underestimate how important planning is ahead of disaster, watch the Red Cross mobilize after a disaster sometime. It happens very quickly.
And, you know, we'll mobilize before disaster. The last month or so, from all over the state of Iowa, we've been having these exercises where these are no-notice drills. And one morning, a group of volunteers will get a call and say, we need you to set up a shelter. And it's a practice. It's just for practice. But this helps us to evaluate where we're at and what we need to work on so that we're ready when we're needed.
Very good. It all comes at a cost, and if folks are looking for some charitable opportunities out there, the Red Cross, Emily, is always a good one.
Absolutely, yes. Your money will go to a number of different areas, depending on what your passion is and what you care about. But that money certainly helps us to respond to and prepare for disasters, and it's incredibly important. And folks can also donate their time by becoming a Red Cross volunteer. We have volunteer positions that will work with different schedules and different interests and abilities. So something to check out.
You bet. Emily Holly with the American Red Cross with us here today. We appreciate your time and appreciate all that the Red Cross does for us. Thank you so much.
Thank you. I appreciate it.